This is the Art of Dental Finance and Management podcast brought to you by Art Wiederman, CPA with Ide Bailey. Whether it's taxes and investing or planning wisely, Art is the expert to make your dental practice profitable. At Ide Bailey, what inspires you inspires us. We provide a suite of accounting and advisory services dedicated to the total care of your practice. Visit our website to access our tools and resources tailored for dentists, idebailey.com/dentist. That's idebailey.com/dentist. This podcast is distributed with the understanding that Art Wiederman, CPA, and Ide Bailey, LLP are not rendering legal, accounting, or other professional advice. Listeners should consult with their business advisors before acting on any of the information or opinions shared. If you have questions and or feedback, make sure to email Art over at awiederman@idebailey.com. That's A-W-I-E-D-E-R-M-A-N at E-I-D-E-B-A-I-L-L-Y.com. You can also give Art a call at 657-279-3243. Without further delay, here's your host, Dental CPA Art Wiederman.
And hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Art of Dental Finance and Management podcast with Art Wiederman, CPA. I am your host, Art Wiederman. Welcome to the podcast. I want to thank again all my long-term listeners. We had just passed 6 years in early December of 2024 when we're recording right now. And we are well into our heading towards 300 podcasts. I always talk about that. I'm getting close to 500 Peloton rides. I think I'm about 10 away. I did one this morning, so I'm all revved up and ready to go. And today is a topic that is very, very near and dear to my heart, and that's retirement plans and retirement planning. And I couldn't have a better guest who is an expert in how this works. Kurt Oswell is the National Sales Director for Farmers and Bets, which is a national, what's called a TPA firm. You'll hear me mention that throughout the show. TPA stands for Third Party Administrator. And Kurt is the guy that if you set up a qualified retirement plan, a 401k profit sharing plan, or a cash balance defined benefit plan, he and his team are going to make sure that you follow all of the very complex IRS rules and make sure that the employee stuff is done right and that the investments, he doesn't manage the investments, but that, you know, all the money is accounted for in the trust accounting. So that's what he's going to do. And since we are at the end of the year right now, folks, you know, this podcast is going to get published, I believe, on the 18th of December, 2024. It may not be too late to set up a plan. It's pretty late. And Kurt might hit me over the head by saying this when I bring him on. But if you have a plan, great. If you don't have a plan, we can talk about that. But we're going to talk about all the different types of plans, what a plan is, what you can do and what you can't do. So we'll get to Kurt in a minute. I want to thank my wonderful marketing partner, Decisions in Dentistry Magazine, www.decisionsindentistry.com. They have over 140 wonderful continuing education courses, including 3 courses that I have put on myself that are on their website. Go to www.decisionsindentistry.com. If you don't subscribe to their magazine, you should. If you are looking for a dental CPA who understands what the 4,000 codes in the CDT rules stand for and how much hygiene production you should be doing as opposed to dentistry production, we got you covered. Please send me an email at awiederman, that's A-W-I-E-D-E-R-M-A-N, at idebailey.com, or call me at 657-279-3243. Oh boy, I've been talking about this BOI reporting, folks. We're not going to go deep into the weeds on this. All I can tell you is you need to talk to your corporate attorney. These rules were set up by the government to, there's 32.5 million entities, corporations, LLCs, partnerships, that are supposed to report. And then last week, early December, a court in Texas said that maybe you don't have to do all of this. I'm not getting into all this. What you need to do is talk to your corporate attorney and let him or her advise you what to do. I am not telling you what to do on this, but they do have these BOI reporting rules. I just want to make sure that you're aware of it. We've been talking about them for the last 3 months. A couple other things I want to tell you before I bring Kurt on to the program. We are doing some live seminars in Southern California on transitions. So mark your dates. If you're in Southern California, we are doing on Saturday, February 22nd, we are doing a seminar. If you are thinking about buying a dental practice, we're doing it at Dave and Buster's, which is a, you know, you're thinking Dave and Buster's. Why would I do a seminar at Dave and Buster's? Well, the reason is that they've got a fantastic lecture facility. We're going to feed you breakfast and lunch, and we're going to tell you everything you need to know if you're looking to buy a dental practice. And then a week later, on Saturday, March 1st, we are doing a seminar for sellers of dental practices. So if you're getting ready to sell your practice, you're a year, two, 3 years away, we're going to have folks talking to you about that on the buyer seminar. We're going to be having a wonderful dental attorney and a dental consultant to talk to you about what you should be looking for when you look for a dental practice. On the seller seminar, I'm really excited that I'm going to have a broker that specializes in selling to DSOs, because we get a lot of calls. Oh my God, I got a call from XYZ DSO and they made me a great offer. And we're just going to say, you know, there's a whole lot to unpack before you make that big decision. For some people, it's good. For some people, it's not. We want to tell you about that. And also, if you're going to sell, we have an attorney. I'm going to be talking about, you know, financial and tax and valuation aspects. So we got a lot of great stuff. If you are interested in registering for the seminar, again, email me AWIEDER. Actually, let's go ahead and use this email address. art@wppps.com.
Be sure to check out our new Eide Bailly podcast, Ebb and Flow, a business podcast providing inspired insight on issues and trends the middle market faces. Hear unique business stories, get answers to frequently asked and unasked questions, and understand business topics that matter to you. Available now on your favorite podcast platform.
All right, with that, let's get to my guest, Kurt Oswell. Kurt is the National Sales Director for Farmers and Betts, which, as I mentioned earlier, is a third-party pension administration firm out of Seattle, Washington. And Kurt is about as experienced and knowledgeable of a gentleman as I could have to talk through all of this. So, Kurt Oswell, welcome to the Art of Dental Finance and Management podcast.
Thank you, Art. Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
So tell me about your professional journey. What have you done? I know you were an entrepreneur and ran your own business for a while also, right?
Well, not exactly. I've been in Seattle for 30 years. That's okay. But I spent 10 years when I got here in 1994 as basically a manager for a printing ink company. So we had a satellite facility here in the Seattle area. And in a way, I did everything that an owner would do. So I wore a lot of hats. I mean, I did all the QC work, technical service work, sales work, did my P&L, budgeting, hiring, firing, everything that an owner would do. And it just gave me, an owner of a small business in particular would do. And it just gave me a lot of experience on what a lot of my clients deal with. And it's really helped me, work with small business owners and understand their need and how to make complex solutions really simple for them.
So how did you get into pension administration?
I had a relationship with one of the other sales managers that was actually recommended me to Trev Farmer. And so for the last 20 years, I've been a pension consultant for the firm. And really what that means is those are external sales people that work with financial advisors and CPAs or other centers of influence with business owners on setting up customized retirement plan solutions for their business. So, that could be all different types of industries, manufacturing, obviously professional service entities. We have a lot of those clients, owner-only clients or employers with hundreds of employees.
So most of the folks that listen to this podcast are private practice dental practice owners, and they could have anywhere between two or three or four employees to, depending if they have multiple offices or big operation, they could have, up to 100 employees. Now, there are DSOs out there that have thousands of employees. We are generally not the CPAs for the ones that own hundreds and hundreds of offices, but we work with individual owners and also folks that own, 2 to 50 or 75 practices. So let's talk on a high level before we get into the types of retirement plans that our dentists can use. What is a qualified retirement plan? I know a lot of the folks listening are going to know, but some might not. Why did the government create ERISA and these rules? How does the whole thing work on a very high level? And then we'll get into some of the weeds.
Yeah, so a qualified retirement plan is an employer-sponsored retirement plan that meets the IRS requirements for tax-deferred treatment. The rules were really established under ERISA. Prior to ERISA, there was not a lot of, particularly for defined benefit plans, the Studebaker failure of their pension plan that really just was millions and millions of dollars, $10 million underfunded at that time, the failure of that plan and other defined benefit plans really spore the federal government to make some rules and some basic guidelines as far as participant notifications and government notifications and funding requirements under ERISA. And so with that, we now have the very complex tax code that we have now as it relates to retirement plans. But really, it's small business owners really have a great advantage on really customizing their 401k profit sharing plan to really, I don't want to say benefit themselves, but get into an arrangement where it's a win-win for them and also a win for their participants. So you see a lot more profit sharing or defined benefit type arrangements in the small employer professional service market.
And we're going to get deep into the weeds. But I mean, again, the biggest advantage folks of doing this, Kurt, is, number one, I get a tax deduction when I put this money in, right?
That's correct.
And so folks, remember that, there are two types of tax benefits you can get in the code. One is a tax credit, and the other is a tax deduction. So if you're in the maximum federal tax rate of 37% and you put $100,000 into a retirement plan, you're going to save, the government's going to pay for $37,000. Plus, you could get a state benefit if you're in the 41 states that have a state income tax. And then the money grows on a tax deferred basis, right? Not tax exempt basis, a tax deferred basis, right?
That's correct. And also, obviously, in 401k plans now, there's Roth type deferral arrangements where you can do Roth contributions. And really with Secure 2.0, which was a massive piece of retirement plan legislation that passed at the end of 2022, for any business owner that does not have a retirement plan currently, there's some amazing tax credits available for them to start a plan. And so those tax credits are up to $5,000 for a startup credit for 3 years. There's also an auto enrollment credit of $500, and that's good for 3 years. And then there's a credit for employer contributions to participants that make under $100,000 in gross wages. There's up to $1,000 tax credit for those employees or participants, and that's good for 5 years. It's 100% for the first two, and then it phases out the next three. So, we have a nice tax credit workbook where if somebody comes to me and says, hey, I'm a small business owner and I have these many employees and I'm wanting to start a retirement plan, I can actually tell them specifically what tax credits they are available for under Secure 2.0.
So what you're saying is if I want to do a remodel of my house to start a retirement plan, the government will pay for it?
Basically, for new plans, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's amazing. Obviously, the incentive is really two things. They're trying to get out in front of the states because there's a lot of states. Obviously, California had the CalSAVERS. We have one coming on board in Washington State here in a couple of years for a state requirement to have a retirement plan. And so really Secure 2.0 tried to get out in front of the states a little bit and really offer amazing federal tax credits, not deductions, tax credits for employers to start these plans.
And remember, and Kurt, I'm talking not only to you, but to the audience, remember, folks, that the government does creates tax legislation for two reasons, always has, since the tax code was enacted in 1913. And no, I was not around in 1913 when they enacted the tax code. But number one, it's to raise revenues. And number two, it is to obtain social goals. And we've talked about this on the program before. You know, you get to deduct your home mortgage interest because it's the American dream to own a home. You get to deduct charitable contributions because the government says it's good to help people that are less fortunate than you. And then the government wants people to retire and have money to retire so that they don't have to provide government programs to support. I mean, that's the theory behind all of this, right?
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, the Secure legislation for that passed relating specifically to the tax credits and auto enrollment requirements under Title I of the bill, which is expanding coverage and increasing retirement savings. So that's the goal specifically in that title. And you know, I've seen the tax credits for startups go from basically a $500 maximum when I started, to now it's up to $5,000, maximum. So, you know, if you have 20 non-highly compensated employees, you're eligible for a $5,000 startup tax credit for 3 years.
That's nice. And is it 5,000 for each of the first 3 years or a total maximum?
It's 5,000. It's $100% of $250 per non-highly compensated employee up to a $5,000 maximum for 3 years.
Wow. That pays for some of it. Okay. So I get somebody here, they're having a good year. Is it now? This is coming out on December the 18th. Is it too late to set up a plan? And if they call you on December 18th, are you going to like pull out whatever hairs you have?
Yeah. Well,
or can we do this?
No, it's not too late at all. Historically, the plan had to be established in their tax year. Obviously, a lot of our clients probably 98% of our calendar year-end plans. But if you do have a fiscal year-end, obviously you want the plan to run to your fiscal. But for a calendar year-end, 12/31 year-end, you can actually start a qualified retirement plan even after 12/31. Your deadline to establish the plan is by the time you file your taxes. So it's too late to have certain provisions in the plan. So usually what we'll do is if an employer wants to start a plan now, or even in January, we would say it's a profit sharing plan for 2024. So only employer funded, in 2024. And then we would allow for salary deferrals at some point in 2025, generally with a safe harbor type provision in there. So, can do that with one plan, which is great. So we can say for 2024, it's a profit sharing plan. For 2025, we're going to allow for salary deferrals at some point in the plan year.
Okay, so we can. It's not too late to do this. Now it is
not at all.
And so, folks, I want to touch on very briefly. I call them baby bear, mama bear, and papa bear. So baby bear is the simple IRA. We have a lot of clients that do that. That is not something, Kurt, that you really deal with because it's not something that needs IRS compliance, right?
That's correct. So a simple IRA is an IRA. They're individual retirement accounts. So there's certain requirements to the plan. You know, you have to do a match of 3% or a non-elective profit sharing type contribution of 2%. There are salary deferrals in Secure 2.0. Traditionally, they've been pre-tax deferrals only. Secure did allow for Roth deferrals in simples, but nobody's ready for that. So nobody, and again, I don't do simples, but you know, from what I've talked to in certain partners is that they're not ready for Roth deferrals yet as far as in the prototypes that they use for that. But the simple deferral limits for 2024 is 16,000. Catch up is 3,500. So if you're over 50, in 2025, the salary deferral limit goes up to 16,500. And then catch up is 3,500. And then believe it or not, we have this additional catch up in simples as well for those 60 to 63. And that's $5,250. That's not on top of this the standard catch-up if you're over 50. That's just a new limit, catch-up limit for those 60 to 63.
Now, I usually have a limitation on the number of numbers that I put into this podcast so that both me and my audience doesn't have their head blown up, but we have to share all these numbers with you. So it is too late, Kurt, for 2024. To set up a simple, as I understand it, you have to have that done by October 1st,
or am I? That is correct. Yeah. So, because the simple has only the salary, you have to do the salary deferrals in the simple. Whereas, if we set up a 2024 qualified plan, we could just say it's a profit sharing only. So, but the simple has to be established by October 1st for the calendar year.
Now, one other thing, and again, you're the expert here, and if it's changed, let me know. It is my understanding. So let's say we have a doctor who's got a simple. And by the way, folks, the limitations on what you can put in between you and your employees, if you are going to put in less than $10,000 for retirement, just fund an individual retirement account or a Roth IRA if you're eligible and don't deal with any of this stuff. Once you're over $10,000 and you can go to up to about $40,000 is about what the max you're going to do with a simple in most cases. That's when you do this. But the thing that I want to point out, Kurt, as I understand it, is let's say I have somebody who's got a simple and then they're going to move on. They're doing really well in their practice. And we're going to spend a lot of time talking about profit sharing and 401k. They want to go from a simple to a 401k profit sharing. You cannot have a simple and any other type of a retirement plan. So they've got to stop funding the simple at the end of 2024, if they want to move on to the profit sharing. Did I get that right?
Yeah, that used to be the case.
Did they change it?
In 2024, this is the first year that you can do a mid-year conversion.
Oh, you can. I did not
know
that.
To a 401k profit sharing plan. And we've probably done roughly over 30 of those already. It's too late to do the conversion for 2024. So historically, the deadline for the simple, you're spot on, is if the simple had to run for the whole calendar year, you couldn't have a simple and another retirement plan the same year. And then if you wanted to move on, for example, if you wanted to move on from your simple in 2024 to a 401k profit sharing plan in 2025, you would have to let the employees know by November 1st that the simple was not going to be offered. That is what is so great. Is I'm so glad that they put this, because I would talk to people now at this time or early in January, and it's like a 401k is just a way better solution for that business and business owner. And it's like, I'm sorry, you got to run your simple for the whole year. Give me a call. Of course, you know, they forget about it and they're stuck in the same boat again the following year.
Right.
Now we can actually do that conversion in February, March, you know, April, May, June, whatever. We can convert to a 401k. It's a little, the limits, the salary deferral limits get a little changed because you have to do a proportional of the simple for as long as that ran in the year and then the 401k. But the key is you can use that 401k for the profit sharing. You know, you can really use that. So it's best to do the conversion as soon as you can in 2025, because you have more compensation in the 401k to use for profit sharing.
So, yeah. And so again, zero to 40,000 folks, look at the simple. 40 to about 100,000, we're going to look at the profit sharing. But before we get to profit sharing, which we are going to spend a lot of time on, let's talk about what types of investments can a dentist make. In other words, you know, put it all in crypto? No. I'm just joking. What can you invest in a profit sharing? And then talk about the fiduciary requirements and the fiduciary responsibility that the sponsor of a plan has.
Yeah. So there's, you know, as a TPA in our prototypes, we don't specify the plan investments at all. Okay.
Right.
The only
right.
thing they will generally specify is whether the participant's directing their account balance or if it's trustee directed, which would be like a defined benefit plan. And so most 401k plans use what we call a record keeper, which is usually a investment company that kind of has a web-based platform. And usually there's up to 20 different mutual funds that are basically approved by the fiduciary to say, these are the funds that I want available for myself and my my plan participants to be able to invest in. And, you know, there's a menu of usually some target dates now, and then a diversified portfolio of different investment classes for the participants to invest in. That's a general case. You know, there, as far as, but we don't really specify it. We have plans that use individual brokerage accounts. That's okay. But there are prohibited transactions that, you know, like owning your vacation property in the plan. Those would be things that would be likely prohibited in the plan.
Right. And there are major penalties for owning assets that are prohibited transactions. You can't have self-dealing. You can't buy your personal residence in your plan. That's a no-no. I know that. I've never done that, but I do know that. So,
yeah.
All right. Let's get into the profit sharing plan. And this is the most typical setup that we see. And it's a profit sharing plan with a 401k for a dental practice. So let's say I have a husband or a wife, doesn't matter who the dentist is, and they want to set this plan up. And then maybe we put the non-dentist spouse on payroll. So let's talk about that setup, which is very common, and we can do some real damage there. So walk us through that one.
Yeah. So, you know, a 401k profit sharing plan is the most common and most flexible plan, particularly for professional service entities or dentists. We were talking about it a little earlier. I think Farmer and Best, we have roughly 4,000 plans that we administer currently. I would say at least 10% of those, if not more, are dental practices across the country. The great thing about a 401k profit sharing plan is you have the salary deferral piece, which is, you know, you can contribute up to a 401k up to $23,500 next year. The 401k limit for this year is $23,000. And then if you're 50 or older, catch up is the same 2024, $7,500. It's also the same for 2025, $7,500. But we do have that additional catch up for those 60 to 63. They can defer an additional $11,250. So a lot of people don't realize the power of a 401k plan. I mean, you can put the annual addition limit, meaning contributions from all sources. So if I had a 401k that had a match and a profit sharing contributions plus my salary deferrals, I could get up to $70,000 in 2025 into that plan. So a lot of people don't realize how much money you can put into a 401k profit sharing plan. And if you have that spouse example on the payroll, they're usually able to do those deferrals as well. So even on the salary deferrals alone for a couple that's under 50, you know, next year or this year, they could put 46,000 in 401k contributions.
Right.
The employer deduction limit is limited to 25% of gross wages. So that's the employer deduction limit in a 401k profit sharing plan. So for example, if my payroll was $400,000 for everybody, I could get up to $100,000 in deductions or profit sharing contributions into that plan. The benefit to profit sharing is we usually, well, our default is to use what's called new comparability profit sharing allocations. And not to get too far in the weeds, but really that's a very flexible allocation where we have individual classes for that. So we don't have to give each employee the same percentage of pay when we do the allocations. And so it works great when you have older owners with younger employees, which is a very common arrangement in dental firms, and so by the time you get through your school and other needs, and usually there's a lot of times a young people on the front desk or what have you, and so it's the demographics work very well for dental companies. The way it works is with new comparability, you're testing benefits at retirement age between highly compensated employees, usually your owners or relations to owners, and your non-highly compensated employees, everybody else. So I use this example. Let's say I'm a 55-year-old owner and I have a 25-year-old employee. If I gave that employee 5% of pay as a profit sharing allocation, when we test it, what we do is we compound it for 40 years to get to the retirement age of the plan, 65. And then we come back to me, well, I only have 10 years since I'm 55 to I retire. So for me to get the same benefit at retirement, I need to get a lot higher percentage of pay because I have less time for my money to grow, right? And so it's basically an age-weighted type design. And so in that case, I could get up to 25% of pay. If I gave the employee 5% of pay, I could get 25% of pay as a profit sharing allocation.
And this is the great thing about this, Kurt, is that when we look at this, folks, let's go 35,000 foot. All right. If you have $100,000, you can either take that money and pay income taxes on it, and maybe you keep 60,000 or 65,000, or you put it into a plan, but we don't want to give, you know, 35,000 to our employees. But what Kurt is saying is that with these new age comparability plans and age weighted calculations, that maybe Kurt, maybe instead of out of that $100,000, you know, maybe we only have to put in, you know, $5,000 for the employees. Who knows? I mean, we could do up to 70, potentially 70,000 for the doctor. And then we do the deferral for the non-doctor spouse of, you know, 25 or 30, I mean, whatever, depending how old they are. And we can get up there and then maybe only 5,000, 7,000 for the employees.
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, it's always free to look. That's what's great. You know, we just need kind of some census data to run an illustration, you know, and a lot of times if it tests out well, you know, what the business owner saves in taxes is going to the employees, you know, plus they get that large contribution as well. So it's a win-win across the board. It's not only a win in deductions and having a great retirement for the owner, but it's also a win for the participants as well because they're getting some retirement benefits.
Okay, so now I'm going to make a statement. And this is what I believe. So I've been doing this work for 40 years, and I will not do anything with a qualified retirement plan, simple, not included, because that's not really what a TPA does. But if I have a client that's doing this, I must have someone like Kurt, you know, like Farmer and Betts or a TPA doing this. Folks, there are companies out there that will allow you to, you know, invest money with them, and then they will do your administration for free for you. Okay. Think of me as someone on your shoulder yelling at you not to do that. Okay. because I have been through nightmare scenarios where that happens. It is really important. And again, I don't do commercial announcements for my guests, but a third-party pension administrator, someone like Kurt's firm, it is so important because of all of these rules to make sure that you are in compliance. Because if you're not, bad things will happen. So talk a little bit, Kurt, about what a third-party, what do you do in your job? And then I want you to give out your contact information if anybody has any questions or, you know, is looking to set up a plan. So talk about what a TPA does and then give out your information.
Great. Thank you. A TPA is a third party administrator. Really the way it works is these are employer sponsored plans. And so the employer is the plan administrator. We're providing certain services for that plan administrator in that, number one, we design and draft the legal documents necessary to adopt the plan. And so that's what a lot of I do as far as a consultant and our other consultants across the country is really interface with that business owner. What are you trying to accomplish through this plan? And then we, you know, work within this complex code to really customize that retirement plan solution to fit the business owner's needs at that time. The great thing about it is you can amend your plan, you can change provisions. So just because when you adopt the plan, it doesn't mean it's set in stone. Again, you can amend it and change it as you go. And then we provide basically compliance services. We do all the discrimination testing that's in the 401k plan. I'm not going to go too far into those weeds.
No.
And then we do also help employers run their allocations for profit sharing. That's a big part of what we do is I'm interested in doing a profit sharing allocation. I'd like to maximize my benefits as an owner. Can you run an allocation? We run it and say, okay, for you to get X, you need to give your employees Y. And then I like it. And I do the deposit, and then we finish up the admin, which is, there's a lot to the admin. When I started, our admin files were maybe 40 pages, and now they're 150 pages because there's a lot more government things. They want lifetime income stuff that we have to prepare and that. But basically, we do all the reporting that's required under ERISA for the plan sponsor, and that includes the 5500 return, which is a tax return for the plan and trust.
Yeah. And so I know you told me you work with about, you think, 300-400 dentists in your firm.
I would say at least, yeah.
Yeah. And so Kurt's got a lot of experience setting up plans for dentists. Kurt, if someone were interested, I know you were talking about some of these documents that might be available on your website. How do people get, if they have a question, they want to give you a call, why don't you give out your phone number and also the website where they can find and what kind of information can they look at on your website?
Absolutely. And so please feel free to give me a call at 206-729-9400. Like I mentioned, we have seven other consultants across the country. I'm not going to go into their locations. Sorry. So it's possible that I refer you out to one of those. Also, you can email me at kurt@fbfrankboypension.com. And our website is farmerandbets.com.
And you said you've got some resources on there. I think you said something about a tax credit worksheet or a tax credit book.
Yeah, so that, yeah, we would prepare that. Basically, I would need some basic information on the business and how many employees there are. And so we could basically run, not only can I tell that employer what tax credits they'd be available for starting the plan, but also what the contributions would look like through the plan. So we can run what we call a proposal. So if we have an owner that's saying, you know, I'm interested in putting $70,000 into a retirement account with a 401k profit sharing plan, what would I have to, you know, give to my four or five employees in order to do that? We can run that at no cost.
Now, if we have a partnership, we have maybe two, three, four dentists that are partners in a an LLC, a PLLC. We can't do LLCs for dentists in California because the legislature won't let us do that, but whatever it is. But we have partners in a practice. You could have one doctor who puts a bunch of money in and the other owners don't participate. That's okay, right?
Yeah, that's what's great about that new comparability allocation and having individual classes is you could have an arrangement where you have four partners and each one would, you know, get a different profit sharing allocation if they wanted. So, for example, you have a partner that's older and interested in really saving as much as they can towards retirement. And then you have another partner that's younger that just, you know, maybe became a partner and, you know, has other financial, you know, considerations other than slamming a bunch of money into a retirement account. No problem. We can run different allocation rates for each owner as well as each participant.
Okay, so I want to hit a couple more things on profit sharing, then hit defined benefit and a couple other things. And I mean, we could spend days on this topic, as you know. So my understanding is that there are the requirements of who is eligible on the employee side. You know, what was it, 1 year employment, age 21? How does that number of hours work per year? How does all that work?
Right. So there's statutory, basically, limits that you can have. And you can have a retirement or a age requirement of 21. That's the highest you can go. You can also have up to a year service, which is very common for dental practices. And that would mean that an employee works 1,000 hours. That's the definition of a year service is 1,000 hours from date of hire to 1 year anniversary.
And the other thing that they have, Kurt, as I understand it, is this concept of vesting, which is I've seen a lot of the dentists, and again, please correct me as I'm wrong, because you're the expert if I'm wrong, is that, you know, we have, you know, 6-year graded vesting is what I've seen in most of these plans is, you know, after 2 years, up to 2 years, they have 0% vesting, and then it's 20, 40, 60, 80. And then once they've been there for 6 years, the employees, they're 100% vested, which is an incentive for that employee to continue working for the dental practice so that they get vested. Did I get that right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's a great advantage to a qualified retirement plan over the simple simple IRA. You know, everything's 100% vested immediately, whereas in, you know, a 401k profit sharing plan, you can have vesting on some or all the employer contributions going into the plan. And so you can go up to 6 year graded, 5 year graded, or a 3 year cliff. You know, the other thing too, just to keep in mind, if somebody has not had a retirement plan right now and is weighing whether to do a simple or 401k, if you start with a simple, you will lose those startup tax credits.
Yes. Yeah, that's a big deal. So why not set up the 401k? You can put in the same amounts with the 401k as you were going to put in for the simple. You don't have to do the maximums, right?
Right, right. Well, and, so, then, you know, and then get the 401k tax credit. Is an elective contribution, you know, and so the, you know, there's a what's called a QACA match, which is very common now with the auto enrollment requirements for 401k, and it's a 3.5% match, so it's 0.5% more than the simple match. And you can actually have some vesting on it. So you have to keep in mind, simples are IRAs. And so an employee can take that money whenever they want. So they can take, you know, you can give them the match. Let's say they contribute 3%, they get a 3% match, and then they can turn around and pull all that out of the plan and pay taxes on it. So, you know, whereas in a qualified retirement plan, you know, the distribution option or the distribution requirements are a lot stricter since it's in a retirement plan and not an IRA.
Before we get into defined benefits, talk about maybe my bigger practices, my doctors that have 10, 20, 30, 40 employees, multiple doctors. A lot of times what I'm seeing them do is everybody does the deferral. And by the way, you can do a Roth IRA deferral, have an option there, right?
Yeah, you can do Roth and 401k. It's ready. It's been there for a long time. And so your deferrals can be up to the same limit in Roth.
Right. But for that type of a plan, a lot of times what I see is that, because remember, doctors, there's three pieces to your contribution in a profit sharing plan. The first one is your 401k deferral. The second is what's called the safe harbor, right, Kurt? Whereas if I get to put away the maximum in a 401k, I have to make a 100% vested safe harbor contribution from my employees, right?
That's correct. And usually for most professional service or dental practices, a non-elective 3% works better right. than the matching because of the profit sharing allocation. Yeah.
Right. So we do the, we put in the 23,000, 30,000, whatever we're able to put in for the 60 to 63 age, it could go up to 33, 34,000. And then we do the safe harbor match. And then we look at what's called the discretionary part. And that's where you start doing your magic, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And the, you know, the new comparability works whether you got four partners or 10 partners. I mean, having the individual allocation rates, giving those partners flexibility on what they want to put in the retirement. You know, obviously you mentioned it's age-based, right? So it works better for the older partners as far as costs to the staff. But, you know, having that flexibility is key. Definitely that would not be a simple IRA-like plan. Absolutely.
No. No, so that's why, guys, it is so important that you work with someone like a Kurt Oswald, who has done this hundreds and hundreds of times over 20 years, who can customize this plan for you so that it's best for you and you, your family and your employees, and gets you to where you want to do with the amount of money that you need. The first thing that you really need to do, folks, and is to figure out how much money you can do. All right. So now this is the part of the podcast where my brain starts to explode, because we're going to talk about defined benefit pension plans. And I'll tell you what, doctors, it used to be that you had to be 50, 55, 60 years old to do these defined benefit plans. But I don't think it's that way anymore. And if you are able to put away $100,000 or more, and it should be a lot more, you know, $125,000, $150,000, $200,000, $300,000 a year, I mean, we can do some serious damage to the federal deficit with a defined benefit plan. Kurt, talk at a high level about what's the difference between defined contribution and a defined benefit, and then how do we use this cash balance defined benefit to really do some damage?
Yeah, so I always use this example, you know, so you really have two, you know, you have your defined contribution plans and then your defined benefit plans. And those are really your two qualified retirement plan types. And so let's, if you talk about a defined contribution plan, let's say I was an employee, a participant in a 401k that offered match, and I never put any of my own money away. I never got any matching. And so I want to retire. Well, what's my benefit? Well, I don't have any because I haven't put any money in. There's never been any money put into my account. So basically a defined contribution plan is basically what goes in and what it grows to is really, that's the benefit. Whereas a defined benefit plan, the plan specifies a specific benefit at retirement age for the plan and for the plan participants. And so cash balance plans have become very popular for defined benefit plans. Historically, we've done probably more traditional DB plans, but certainly we do a lot more cash balance plans. They're just more flexible now. They look like a profit sharing plan. And so if you have established a cash balance plan, you have tiers, basically like a new comparability profit sharing plan. And so the in the cash balance document, it's saying the owner gets 100% of pay and the employees get 2% of pay or $2,000. And so you can even say the owner gets $100,000. So very flexible on how you customize the benefit in a cash balance plan. So they're basically a defined benefit plan that looks like a defined contribution plan.
And so the other thing is, Kurt, we don't have to wait till we're 50, 55, 60 years old. I mean, I've seen people in their, I think I saw one in their late 30s, early. I mean, starting a defined benefit plan when you're 21 probably doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But what's the youngest that you've helped a dentist set up a DB plan for the owner?
Yeah, it's really, it's demographics, really, is really what matters. Because basically, when you're doing these plans, particularly, I mean, for particularly professional service employers that have employees, which is, I mean, most of them, right?
Right.
It's really the transition is really to get into the 401k with that new comparability. And then when it starts testing out real well, then that's the time to really look at a cash balance plan. So kind of what you really need is, I would say, dentists in their obviously mid-40s and up are good. And you really want probably about a 15-year, it doesn't have to be average, yeah, but you need some employees that are 15 years younger, right?
Right.
And so these designs, if you go back to my example about, hey, I'm a 55-year-old owner and I got a 25-year-old employee and new comparabilities testing benefits at retirement age, well, that's exactly what a defined benefit plan says. This specifies a specific benefit. But if I have those younger employees, they have more time for their money to compound and grow at an assumed rate of return. And so you can get some incredible designs where, you know, I can get a dentist 150% of pay, and it's roughly 7.5% to 9.5% of pay as far as a contribution to the staff. So, but it's demographics matter.
No, absolutely. And then also, Kurt, I've seen that we have a doctor who might have both a 401k profit sharing and a cash balance together.
Right. And you have to. That's a very common, we call them combo plans. And so you get a CB cash balance, DC 401k profit sharing plan. And really, I think the easiest way to explain it is there's only one test in a defined benefit plan, and it's top heavy testing, where that would be the owner or the key employee owns over 60% of the assets. Well, we're designing these plans to be top heavy by default, meaning we want to give that owner as much as we can. So it's a lot of times the owner will have 95% plus of the assets in the cash balance plan. And so the cash balance plan is top heavy. And so what you get are top-heavy minimums you have to give to the non-key employees. And those are generally, a 7.5% profit-sharing contribution and then a 2% contribution in the cash balance plan.
I mean, the bottom line is, doctors, if you want to save money for retirement and if you want to get a really nice tax deduction and if you want that money to grow tax-deferred, basically what we as CPAs do is we get Kurt Oswell on the phone and we start having a conversation about, all right, doctor, you know, tell me about your employees, do an employee census. How much money do you have? That's the first question you have to figure out. How much money do you have to commit to this? Very, very important question. And once we figure it out, then we can go there. Now, let's go for the defined benefit. I have had doctors who say, oh, Art, I'm selling my dental practice this year. I'm going to get $1.5 million. Can I just set up a defined benefit plan for 1 year and dump it all in there? I know the answer, but why don't you tell us the answer?
Yeah, there needs to be some permanency to that, particularly a defined benefit plan. Otherwise, the IRS, you're likely to get an audit from the IRS upon 1 year of contributions and then terminating it. So particularly with defined benefit plans, they're looking for some permanency. Now that, you know, we've never really had an issue having one fund for 3 years.
3 years
terminate. That's probably a little on the low side, but we've never really had one audited on termination. And certainly it can be terminated, you know, with any business. Like if you sold your business, obviously that would be a reason to terminate the plan. But starting one and then doing 1 year of contributions and then initially terminating it is likely not a good option.
So here's an example of something, Kurt, that I did with a client. It was a specialist. We knew that 4 years from the time we started talking that he was selling to his associate. It was already planned. We wanted, you know, 3 to 4 years to get the associate ingrained with the referral sources and all this stuff. So what we ended up doing is, because this doctor had a lot of really good cash flow and no home mortgage payment, which is always helpful, is we set up a defined benefit plan, $155,000 a year for year one, year two, and year three. And then in year four, when we knew we were selling, the formula was set up that we were able to put away like $400,000. I mean, you can do stuff like that if you have enough notice, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the great thing about it, a cash balance or defined benefit plans is the plan defines the benefit. It doesn't mean that you can't up the benefit at some point or up the, you know, so for example, if you had a cash balance plan that was saying, you know, you get 100% of pay, and then we're able to up that up to 150 or 200% of pay and amend the plan, we can do that. And so it's really having these types of plans. There is flexibility, particularly on raising benefits, and less so on lowering benefits.
Yeah, I mean, these plans, you can literally, within reason, folks, and again, these plans do not go on forever. At some point, if you have a cash balance or, defined benefit plan, Kurt could say to you after 15 or 20 years, you know what, you've hit the maximum. Because remember that the defined benefit plan is set up in such a way that you have to fund a certain amount of money into the plan to create a defined benefit, an amount of money that will allow you to get paid. What is it? Is it up to what, $200,000 a year or something like that?
Well, I mean, the compensation limit for 2024 is, the defined benefit limit.
Yeah.
2024, the defined benefit limit is $275,000. So that would be basically a pension that would pay you. They would break that for a traditional pension into 12 payments. So 12 divided by $275,000. But that's that's a lot of money if you figure,
right?
We can use a retirement age of 62, and then your assumed mortality may be in your 85. What would pay out that level of dollars for 23 years? That's a sizable pot of money.
So doctors, if you are looking and you're listening to this, remember, my podcast is a call to action. I want you to retire. I want you to have the financial ability to retire at the age you want to retire. So now you're 50 years old. You've never funded to retirement. Why? You've been paying off your house. You put two or three or four kids through private college, which I think is the best investment you can ever make. And then, you haven't had the money to put into retirement, right? So now the kids are off, they're on their own, they're hopefully self-sufficient. Maybe you paid your house off, or maybe your practice is doing better, you've done some management, and now you've got this money. So if you are older, and again, I'm be careful about the definition of older, got me in trouble the first time I ever lectured in 1985. But if you're, maybe 50, 55, 60, and you can do this. I mean, you've got basically, Kurt, if we start in our 50s, we can almost name our numbers what we want to put away, right? Within reason?
I mean, it's really, that's the thing is that what I try to do is work backwards, give me a target of what you're looking for. Because sometimes I could do I could get you 250 or 300,000 in contributions, but they're like, that's too much. I want to do, could I do 150? No problem. We just set the benefit formula to target what the client's looking for as far as annual employer contributions. The key is really, I think, is to get the 401k set up in a certain manner, because then you can add the cash balance plan either in the current year, or I could even add it in 2025 for 2024, because the setup requirements are the same. Before you file your employer taxes, you have to have that plan set up and funded. And so what's great about that is provided the 401k is set up with a non-elective safe harbor of 3% and a new comparability profit sharing plan, I could even add it for that client in 2025, for the 2024 plan year. So, knowing if you at some point in the future, you're really interested in, but you're not sure you're ready this year or 2 years from now, 3 years from now, get the 401k set up right so it's an easy addition on or layer on at some point.
Well, my head is about ready to explode. And I'm sure some of you are. Hopefully this has given you an idea of what is possible. But, again, we are going to have tax rates that are probably going to stay pretty much the same for 2024 and 2025. And then we'll find out going forward with the new administration, the new Congress, what they're going to do. But they have with this SECURE 2.0, 1.0, 2.0, and could be a 3.0 down the road here coming up. They're doing stuff that is really encouraging employers to put money away. And it's a great thing. Kurt, any final comments? And then I want you to give out your contact information one more time to our audience.
I'd just like to say, you know, it's consulting is free, right? And, you know, I've done over 600 plans and I really enjoy it. I really enjoy providing customized, retirement plan solutions to business owners. And thank you for having me and being able to talk about Farmer and Betts and qualified retirement plans. Yeah, my contact is 206-729-9400. My email is Kurt, K-U-R-T dot Oswell, O-S-W-E-L-L at fbpension.com, frankboypension.com. And if you do contact me, just mention the podcast here and I will get right back to you.
Sounds good. And then the website is just go to
farmerandbetts.com. Yeah.
And you've got the resources on there, like that talks about the tax credits and everything, right?
Yes, actually, yep. It's probably fbpension.com. I don't know. I got to go and check it.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, but if you just search it should pop right up. Yeah.
We should all know our own websites, but yeah. Again, we're a little busy. Hey, Kurt, if you want to hang, please hang with me while I take the podcast out. I really, really appreciate your time and your expertise and the help you've given to my audience with this. And folks, again, this is a call to action. You know, we want you to have the financial ability to retire. And there are two or three cornerstones of your retirement. The number one cornerstone is your qualified retirement plan. Then you've got the ownership of your dental office building. And then you've got the actual ownership of your dental practice and maybe your home if you decide to downsize. But, you know, the qualified retirement plan, it is absolutely remarkable what the magic of compound interest that is not taxed can do for you. And I will take this to my grave, folks, is that this is the way to go. I've used it myself, and it's just been amazing. So with that, if you are looking for help from a dental CPA who understands your business and who understands your issues and has resources that are like off the charts, please give me a call, 657-279-3243, or email me at awiederman, A-W-I-E-D-E-R-M-A-N, at idebailey.com. If you're in Southern California, February 22nd, if you're looking to buy a dental practice, March 1st, if you're looking to potentially sell your dental practice, we are doing seminars. Just call me or email me. We'll get you out the flyer with the QR code. The seminar is free. We're going to feed you and give you great information from lawyers and consultants and brokers to help you make the right decisions for either buying or selling a dental practice. And with that, I want to thank you again, Kurt, for your time and your expertise. And we are going to call it a wrap on the podcast. I want to thank my audience for their years of loyalty to me and the podcast. We are at 6 years. We are at over 210 podcast recordings. We're going to keep doing this until they tell me I can't do this anymore or I end up in cash prison or who knows. But with that, again, thank you. And this is Art Wiederman for the Art of Dental Finance and Management with Art Wiederman CPA. And we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Art of Dental Finance and Management podcast. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts so you never miss an episode. The Art of Dental Finance and Management podcast is produced by Ide Bailey in partnership with Art Wiederman, CPA, Decisions in Dentistry Magazine, and the Academy of Dental CPAs. For audience questions and feedback, email Art Wiederman, awiederman at idebailey.com. That's A-W-I-E-D-E-R-M-A-N at E-I-D-E-B-A-I-L-L-Y.com. Or you may call Art at 657-279-3243.